God created men. God created women. Men need respect. God made us that way. In a relationship with the man, where respect is deprived in that relationship, it's like cutting off the oxygen supply. Respect is like oxygen to a man's soul. When he has it, his heart will flourish. Without it, he will suffocate. God has called the wife in a marriage to meet her husband's need for respect. Conversely, women need love. God created women that way. Amen. Love is like oxygen to a woman's soul. When she is deprived of love in a relationship, she feels like she's suffocated. But when she's loved, her heart comes alive. God has called husbands to love their wives and meet their need for love. That's our role in life. Amen. So as men and women of faith, and as people that want our marriages can get better. Every year I don't pray, oh God, let me, you know, I want to be the same Christian I was. No, I want to be a better Christian. I want to be, and how that the evidence of my life improving will be seen in my relationships. It'll make me a better husband, father, now a grandfather, a pastor, a leader. I want every part of my life to be visibly affected by a close relationship with God that becomes better. So a couple of highlights from last week, or just a couple of points. In a man and woman's body, every cell in a man's body is different from every single cell in a woman's body. Different chemicals cascade through our bodies. Men are about 45% muscle weight, women 20%. Women have a layer of insulation cells, makes them more beautiful, makes them also easier to gain weight. Men have thick skulls, they have thick bones, they're just thick all over, okay? Baby boys look like baby girls in the womb until the mother releases, by the providence of God's calling for that child, a chemical called testosterone that comes and literally washes across the baby. The first thing it does, it segregates. It causes two lateral parts of the brain spheres. It brings a separation. It literally causes brain damage. Okay? When a baby girl is born, right after birth, her lip muscles begin to twitch and move. Why? Because we know women speak 25,000 words a day, men 12,000. God's given women the gift of communication. The most powerful woman you'll ever meet is a woman who's allowed God to take her proclivity toward verbal expression and allowed God to control that and make it an instrument of life to others. Men are laterally brained. That means they can only use half their brain at once. One side's logic, one side's emotion. Women are bilaterally brained, and they can use all of their brain functions simultaneously. That makes them better learners. They can take in more information. They're better students on the most part. And because of the way they receive life, women favor the right side, the emotional side of the brain, creativity, emotion, feeling, sensitivity, etc. A study of children, 2 to 4, found out that 100% of little girls' speech was verbal language to themselves. So even they're playing with a doll, they'll talk to the doll and say, here's your tea, here's your this, and everything's verbal, everything's language. And they found out in these little boys between 2 and 4 that over 60% of their speech was just noises. Okay, just guttural noises. So men and women are different. Can I have an amen? So understanding that means when you got married, you married someone from a different world. A man is like a ship with many different compartments and rooms. Men can compartmentalize their life. Women is like, they're like rivers where everything flows together. Everything's connected together. Women who are dishonored early in life by their natural fathers, either by his absent emotional trauma or any kind of abuse or criticism will bring often that brokenness into their relationship, and it creates a damaging a part of marriage. That's why God has to heal all of us. Women need non-sexual touching. Sexually, men are like microwaves and women are like crock pots. I'll talk about that more in the future. Okay, get your notes out for today, if you have them. So this sermon is only for married people and single people. Wife was going shopping, and just as she was going out the door, the husband reminded her that that month they couldn't afford any really expensive items. And he said, you know, we can't afford you to buy a new dress. And she said, I know, I'm just going window shopping. I'll look, but not buy. She came home, and a few hours later, he was looking for something in their closet, and he noticed a brand new expensive dress that his wife had bought that day. He went into his wife and confronted her and said, I thought you knew that we didn't have the money to buy that dress. And she said, I know. I wasn't going to buy it, but Satan just tempted me and I couldn't resist. And the husband said, well, why didn't you tell the devil to get behind you? She said, I did. And he told me the dress looked even better from behind. This first scripture I want to dedicate today to my loving wife of 35 years, the best person I've ever known, the best Christian I've ever known, Mary Catherine Maiden. Who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. There's no monetary value that can possibly compensate for the value of a godly wife. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. My wife has been so good to me. And even when life was bad, my wife was good. It's unbelievable how different my life is because of the godly, virtuous wife God's given me. She seeks wool and flax, willingly works with her hands. She's like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She knows the best stores to buy the groceries at. She also rises a great while and gets the Macy's before the crowd to get the special items. Marshall's today. She's got her plans for this afternoon. She considers a field and buys it. She profits. For her profits, she plants a vineyard. When we were first married, I was a testosterone man, big T, you know, I am the man of this house. And I said, I'm going to do the finances because that's what men do. I'm the head of this home. So about 6 months into our marriage, we went to a kind of a calamity, and the creditors were calling, and they turned off our electricity. And it wasn't that we didn't have enough money. I just kept forgetting to pay stuff. And my wife was so gentle. Honey, did you forget that? It slipped my mind. I can't believe that the power is off. What do we do? Well, we have to go down there, give them a check, and they'll turn it back on. So after a couple months of that stuff, I said, my wife's good at this stuff. I'm bad at this stuff. Why should I do something I'm bad at just because I'm a man? Thank you, ladies. Doesn't stop most men, but it stopped me. Turn the finances, that part of our life, over to my wife, and she's just done a phenomenal job for 34 and a half years. Okay. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength, strengthens her arms, she perceives her merchandise is good. I just want to tell my wife, your stuff is good. Take that however you want to take it. Her lamp does not go out at night. She's just obeying the scripture. She stretches out her hands to the staff, and her hands hold the spindle. So she's creative. She's entrepreneurial. She's doing whatever she can. She extends her hands to the poor. Yes, she reaches down her hands to the needy. My wife is that too. She's not afraid of snow. Thank God we live in Phoenix. We're not afraid of snow. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen. She doesn't have to make it. She buys it at Marshall's. The other day I had a $100 shirt I was wearing at church, she paid $9.99 for. Her husband is known in the gates. He sits among the elders. She makes linen garments, sells them. supplants sashes for the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom. Now, there it is. So a virtuous woman is a woman who has allowed the Holy Spirit to bring a self-discipline and a Holy Spirit direction into her vocabulary. The most powerful woman is a woman who takes the gift of communication that is a natural part of her creative identity and allows it to become a powerful vehicle for God. Amen? Deborah is a good example of scripture of that. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Verse 28, that's really true of our household. Her husband also, when he praises her, here's what he said. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Mary Maiden, you're the best thing that ever happened to me besides Jesus. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So there is, in this invitation to women, for the powerful life consequences of a God-first life. Amen. And I just want to, the most beautiful women in the world are Christian women, are women that love God, women that have given their hearts to God. And we commend all the virtual women of this church. God bless every single one of you in Jesus' name. Proverbs 14:1, just kind of alluding to the woman's gift of vocal strength. The wise woman builds her house, a foolish woman pulls it down. So there will never be a time when a man outgrows his need for respect. And when you're raising boys, when you're raising young sons, when you're disciplining and directing their life, you have to make sure that you don't dishonor them in the process of discipline. Because dishonor creates a calamity in the heart of man. Feels like he's suffocating from value and etc. So a wise woman uses her words to build up. And every man, there's a little boy that needs a cheerleader in his life. It's the truth. Okay. So a foolish woman has allowed her impulse or even things that are actually true to become critical instruments of dishonor to the men in her life. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 3, Bible's talking about marriage. The same goes for you wives. Be good wives to your husbands, responsive to their needs, their husbands too, indifferent as they are to any words. Everybody shout words. So a wife is most tempted to try to straighten a man out with words. Yeah, tell me how it goes. About God will be captivated by your life of holy beauty. So what words can't do, lifestyle can. What matters is not your outward appearance, styling of your hair, jewelry you wear, cut of your clothes, but your inner disposition. So a woman who carries in her heart the beauty of Christ can make Jesus so appealing that you can win a backslidden or unsaved husband. Now in scriptures, we are one of the guidelines of marriage is don't marry someone who's not saved. If you're saved, don't do it because you can't guarantee, God doesn't guarantee that person's salvation. But a lot of people get married and then they get saved and one gets saved before the other. So if you have an unsaved loved one, unsaved husband, the best way to win him is not to argue him into the kingdom. It's to be so happy, so loving, so godly that he's tormented not having the same kind of life with God you have. So you exercise the inner beauty that becomes an appealing. So men, they really resist. They hear criticism as dishonor, but they really respond to someone who's doing something better than them. The competitive urge. Okay. Cultivate inner beauty, verse 6. The gentle, gracious, kind that God delights in. The holy women of old were beautiful before God that way and were loyal wives to their husbands. Sarah, for instance, taking care of Abraham, would address him as my dear husband. King James says, my Lord. Well, that was out of fashion, but my dear husband is a good translation. You'll be true daughters of Sarah if you do the same, unanxious and unintimidated. Men, the same goes for your husband. The King James says, husbands, dwell with your wives with knowledge. What is knowledge? Information learned, information applied. So your wife is different than you. And you can't know her without an investigative process, without asking questions, without seeking her heart Same goes for your husband. Be good husbands to your wives. Honor your wife. Delight in your wife. As women, they lack some of your advantage. They don't have the same muscles. They don't have the same, okay, there's physical advantage strength-wise to men. But in the kingdom of God, there's no distinction. But in the new life of God's grace, you're equals. Your wife is not your prisoner. She's your partner. Treat your wives then as equals so your prayers won't run aground. I like the fact that God threatens men. And he says this, if you mistreat my daughter, I'm going to unanswer your prayer. That's what you call motivation, okay? That's Papa protecting his girls. That's God enticing men into a understanding of, hey, I'm invested in your marriage. I love you. I love your wife. But if you act inappropriate with her, it will cut off you from me. So that's what you call motivation. Can I have an amen? Okay, Ephesians 5. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. How many are glad he gave us everything? He gave us everything. A love marked by giving, not by getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. Love heals. Anybody you love, you're healing. And every time God intersects our life, he loves us and he heals us. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring out the best in her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. That is how husbands, the same way, ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. So the Bible says the washing of the water of the word, he purifies the church. So what happens to us is the things you say over your wife have the impact and influence to create the environment that's over your marriage. So aren't you glad that Jesus has a whole bunch of good things to say to you? Amen. I don't know about, I've been walking with the Lord 50 years. Pretty cool. Pretty cute, cool. He's never said to me, I'm done with you. You're no good. I'm throwing you away. You failed. He always loves, restores, heals. Even when he corrects, it's redemptive. He's awesome all the time. And a husband has the power to wash his wife with his words. Just like Christ washes us. A husband has the power to make his wife feel beautiful with his words. Like he makes us feel dressed in the glorious garments. Okay. No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds it and pampers it, talking to men. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we're part of his body. And this is why a man leaves his father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. The most powerful prayer on earth is a spouse praying for the other spouse. God hears your prayer as a spouse as if your spouse prayed it. Nothing else like this. This is a huge and powerful mystery. I don't pretend to understand it all, but what is clearest to me is the way that Christ treats the church provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself and loving her, and how the wife is to honor, dash, respect her husband. There it is. Amen. So I can't, in marriage, we play roles, and the roles are given by God to meet the needs of our spouse. And if you're in a position, well, my husband's not loving me, I'm not going to respect him. People get caught into the trap. They get stagnant in their marriage. But just love each other. A great marriage is made of two great forgivers. A great marriage is made of two great forgivers. The first to forgive wins. So challenge you, man, to do that. So let's do it. Now, I have too much to say today. I don't have enough time, but I want to get to some of these underlying points. So one of the things that happens in life is people's spirits become wounded, traumatized, and a merry heart does good with like medicine, but a broken spirit, who can bear it? So the Bible talks a lot about that. People that have inner brokenness that really becomes reflected in their emotional life, the way they view the world, and then their relational connections are really defiled by that brokenness. So Jesus Christ heals broken hearts. And I announce over you that nothing you've been through is too big for Jesus to heal. You with me? As Mr. Lazarus, my wife frequently calls me that. As someone resurrected from brokenness, bearing this heartache, trauma, pain, I'm here to tell you there's nothing he can't heal. Okay, some bullet points. Number one, women need communication and closeness. Everybody say communication. Say closeness. How does that happen in a marriage? Well, here's some ideas for men. You let your wife vent her frustrations and hurts and don't get angry and close her off. So let me explain it to you this way, man. You know, when I try to help women understand sex, what is like sex? You know, what is sex like for men? Well, it's like winning the lottery. It's like the 4th of July. It's like Disneyland. It's like lobster dinner, whatever your favorite thing is, okay? That's what sex is like for men. Men, when a woman can unload her heart, the same kind of value happens to her. Women need emotional release just like men need physical release. Okay, I'm trying to put it in language guys can get it. Okay? Women need their hearts uncumbered. They need someone close they can talk to. And if they can't talk to you, they'll find somebody. But if they can't, if you're not that person, it hurts your marriage. Okay, number two, you understand her natural desire to negotiate, compromise, and defer, and you meet her halfway. That took me a long time to get this. I realize now, after 35 years of marriage, my wife's a better negotiator than me. She wins most battles. At the end of it, I think, let me think here. She got these six things, and I got this half thing. I'm meeting her halfway. You never nurse bitterness and always reassure her of your love. So Paul's talking to Timothy. He says, you know, I desire that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubt. The two big issues in a man's heart are unbelief because of reason and anger because of unresolved hurt. Men are angry because they've not resolved pain. So men don't know how to, they don't know how to deal with pain. It manifests in anger. Angry man is a hurt man. The hurt now has grown into bitterness, into an expression of an unhealthy life. So we fight against bitterness, amen? You can conquer anger. Why are you angry? God asked in the garden, why are you angry, Cain? And so it's a problem with men. We can overcome it. You admit you were wrong and apologize by saying, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Listen, because it is counterintuitive for a strong male to say, I love politicians. I love especially, my favorite thing is when they mess up so powerfully that everybody sees it, but they won't admit it. I didn't do anything wrong. You just heard it wrong. Now, man, there's power in saying, I messed up. You with me? And when a woman hears her husband say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, man, you talk about changing your world. A great marriage is made of two great forgivers. You listen and repeat back to your wife what she said. Bummer. My wife uses that all the time on me. She doesn't wait for me to repeat it. She says, what did I say to you? I said, it was really important. And I start praying in tongues. Holy Ghost, bring it up. Whatever. Help me, Holy Ghost. I have found that I cannot watch TV and talk to my wife simultaneously. Okay. Yeah. You can't try to fix your wife's problems unless she asks you. So what you know, men are fixers. But most of the time when a woman unleashes like just an emotional release, an emotional communication, she's not really asking for specific answers. She just wants someone to listen to her. If your wife asks you for solutions, sometimes that's a trick too. Just saying. You try to help your wife identify her feelings so often. So a woman's world is like this river, and inside of that river are her emotions, her logic, her memory, her experience. It's all together. There's no separation. So often women a man who is outside of that world can say, hey, I think you're feeling this. I was helping my wife last week with something she was feeling because of something happened to her. And it was great because I'm not engaged in that emotion. I could kind of see what she was going through. You never dismiss your feelings, no matter how illogical they may seem to you. Never tell someone they shouldn't feel that way. If they feel that way, they feel that way. You with me? Never dishonor someone by telling them their feelings are illegitimate. If they feel that way, we can help them feel a different way, but don't tell them it's wrong to feel that way. Don't make them feel bad for being human. They'll stop telling you how they feel. You say to her, I appreciate you sharing this with me. I was talking with Melody Joy the other day. It's just so fun. We're talking, and she just had so much to share, and she just unleashed. And so my job was in this 20-minute conversation, just every 5 minutes, yeah. Yeah, great. I love talking to my girls. I don't do much talking. Yeah. Just nod and look. Awesome. Cool. Keep it up. And they feel, what happened? I had a great conversation with Dad. You don't interrupt your wife when she's trying to tell you how she feels. Okay? Just put the game on pause. You cut your wife some slack during her monthly cycle. Okay? 7 days out of the month, a mystery comes to your home called temporary insanity. And your sweet, loving, precious wife moves out and a vampire moves in, a werewolf moves in, the female cousin of Hitler. No, I'm just kidding. Just. Okay. My wife's giving me this. You express, this is an important point. Mary and I, when we were so appreciative, you know, to have a lot of ministries and stuff. We have hundreds of volunteers here. We appreciate everyone. And appreciation in, listen, I was at a formal dinner last night honoring one of my ministry friends, and it was wonderful. And every time they poured my glass, it was a 5-hour meeting, and it poured my, every time the waitress filled my glass, I said, thank you. There's power in appreciation and thanksgiving. There really is. So recognize and appreciate the things your wife does. Honey, I could never do your job. It's really true. I'm so glad my wife was there, especially with the kids. One day in heaven, Jesus had all the men get in two different lines. One line was for all the men who were head of their homes, as the Bible commands. And the other line was for all the men who let their wives be the head of their homes. To his surprise, Jesus found that the line for the men who allowed their wives to be head of the home was over 100 miles long. And the line for the men who were head of their home had one guy in it. And Jesus said to the long line, he said, man, you should be ashamed of yourself. Not being the head of your home. Look at this guy over here. I want him to tell you how he did it. And he said, sir, I want you to tell all those men how you got in this line and what you did to deserve this. And the man said, I don't know, Lord. This is just where my wife told me to stand. Last point, here we go. Women need commitment and cherishing. Women need commitment. Everybody say commitment. So when a husband's behavior, attitude, or indifference creates insecurity around relational commitment, it causes calamity in the heart of the wife. Okay, you speak highly of your wife in front of others. I hate it when spouses criticize each other in front of other people. Okay? So, you know, when I travel and do things, and if Mary's not with me, if she's with me, I'll do the same thing. But when she's not with me, I'll begin by saying, hey, I'm honored to be with you. I'm the loving husband of one wife for 35 years. We've got 4 kids. I'll try to put, if they have the means, I'll put a picture of my family up there. I'll brag about my wife. I wear my wedding ring. You with me? I try to honor her as much as I can, love her. You're involved in things that are important to her. Okay, so here's what I found out. After a few years, I learned to develop the tolerance for chick flicks. We're first married. Every movie's a, you know, police movie, a war movie, an adventure movie, a man movie. Yes. So after a while, I realized my wife doesn't. So, well, she's got it. My wife likes reality shows. So she likes The Voice, and she likes the Beverly Hillbillies, or whatever else is on this. What's the other shows? The people that collect junk and sell it expensive. Yeah. So some of the shows are kind of graphically. Some of the shows, I said, honey, I can't watch that and sleep. That's so gross. Isn't it interesting? Yes, it's very interesting. We're trying to cultivate things that the other day I went shopping with my wife, and praise God for benches. Okay. Yeah. I won't say anymore. You don't correct your wife in front of your children. It is a horrific thing when couples fight in front of their kids. When wives dishonor their husbands and husbands are combative to their wives in front of kids, it does great calamity. The greatest thing I did 1,000 things wrong in raising 4 kids. One thing I did right was to love my children's mother. I showed my sons how to treat a woman, and I showed my daughters how to be treated. Are you with me? So Mary and I had something to discuss about, we didn't talk about church business in front of kids. We didn't talk about people that were misbehaving in our world. Okay. As a husband, you don't look lustfully at other women. It hurts the heart of a woman. So in Arizona, summertime comes and women walk through the mall wearing 3 Band-Aids and call it an outfit. So I'm with Mary, we're walking down the mall, and here comes Miss Band-Aid. You can see she's bouncing right down the main room, okay? Here she comes, and I'm thinking, oh God, what am I gonna do? Okay, I just shift my, I say, hey honey, I just, you know. And so she's watching me to see if I'm gonna watch. I'm watching her, I'm not watching. I'm not looking. So if your head swivels with every, you know, attractive lady you see around your life, it creates tremendous insecurity in your wife. Y'all with me? We don't want that. When we were first married, my wife, I gave it a name. I called it the 3-second rule. So watching a football game, and now you can't even watch anything without something inappropriate coming on, okay? So here comes a beer commercial, and there's some naked girls trying to get you to drink. Guys, you don't get the girls. Yeah, you just get drunk. So anyways, so here comes the inappropriate thing, and so I knew that I had 3 seconds to change the channel or else a flying object would come across the room toward my head. So I called out a 3-second rule. So now when I watch TV, I got them in the room right here. I'm prepared for any inappropriate stuff. You make your marriage a priority. So what happens in marriage is this. Men, ladies, men don't try to do this. It just happens naturally. So men go hunting. So men get married to solve their problem. I'm going to hunt me a wife. Done. Women know that marriage is the beginning of a long journey. Men think marriage is the end of a long pursuit. Hunt me a wife, huh? Women think, I got a man, I got years to train him now. So we have to continually reinvest in our relationships. Time. My wife and I have a date night. You with me? I hold hands in public. We're kissing. Go to see a chick flick. Okay, let's go on. You're never critical of your wife in front of your children or your children in front of others. So important. Okay. You tell the kids, don't speak to your mother. So the greatest trouble my kids would ever get in our home was to disrespect Mary. If that happened, they were going to the woodshed. I know all of you hipsters don't believe in spanking, but something like that would happen. They turned out okay. You call her and tell her your plans, so you just don't show up, you know, hours late, and you keep your wife informed in her. Now, a wife should not be calling her husband every half an hour. What are you doing now? Where are you at now? But a husband should be kind enough, considerate enough. You say to your wife, I'm proud of the way you handled that. You give your wife encouragement and praise with kindness and enthusiasm. You notice something different about her hair and clothing. That's a big one. Okay? I got to make a list for that. I go, oh, something's different. Oh, God. Is her hair, her toes, her clothes, her... Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me get this right. You teach your children to show your wife's respect. It's amazing. A husband who's dishonoring to his wife, who's crude and unloving, boys will be born with a disposition often to treat women that way. Very inappropriate. You're physically affectionate with your wife in public. We hold hands, Mary and I. Kiss in public. We love. We still embarrass our kids. You value your wife's opinion. Took me a while in life to realize my wife's brain was possibly as good or better than mine. You with me? So I'm making mistakes early in the ministry, early in life. Mary's saying very kind things. You know, perhaps if you would have done things the way I mentioned before. I don't want to say I told you so. So after a few of those head-on collisions, I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to start listening to her. You value her opinion. You make her feel first in importance. You're proud of her and all that she does. Those are some tips for us as men on how to be Christ-like to our wives and meeting their need. Would you stand your feet with me as we close the service? Today is, a special day for us as a church in that we are receiving into membership people that feel like CF10's their home church. If you've been here for a while and you say, Pastor, I feel like CF10's my church, you could have called in before, but even if you haven't pre-notified us, if you feel like, you know what, I've been waiting for a chance to kind of officially join our church, we're not super hyper big on membership, but we want to give people a chance to express the commitment God's put in their heart. If you feel like this is your church and today you'd like to join us, would you just come down front? I'm going to say a blessing over you, and then we're going to go have a meeting together with our pastoral staff. And we welcome you to CFT and to our family and to our life together. Come on, let's thank God for all these awesome men and women. We welcome all of you. Wonderful. God bless you. Bless you. God bless you. We welcome you. Welcome you to our family of faith. We're very honored you're here. We receive you with the grace God's given us here. And our prayer as a congregation is that every good thing we have as a church and as leaders comes into your world. So I pray for every grace on my life and the pastors and leaders here, every anointing and blessing and every spiritual revelation becomes yours. I pray that you notice right away your life getting better. God bless you, honey. God bless you. Welcome, Radcliffe. Welcome. Welcome. We're honored, and we not only want to give you access to what God's doing here and who God's made us to be, we today welcome and receive the gifts that are on your life. Today, our church increased because not just the numbers that you bring to us, but the gifts that are in your heart from God. We welcome and receive your gifts. We thank God for them. And we pray that this is, you know, one of the graces on our church is a grace of restoration. And I pray you guys feel that, you know, Mary and I have watched God restore our lives in the most remarkable way. I pray that you sense that momentum of restoration in your life. Get ready for miracles to happen. Just like God's given us, He's going to give them to you. He's going to help you in ways that are just really important to you. Oh, we got to look at the princess. Welcome to CFDN. Yeah, you're beautiful. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you. Bless you. Would you, congregation, would you stretch your hands toward these wonderful families, wonderful people? Father, I pray for every man and woman today that is felt by your spirit that this is to be the church home. We as a church embrace them, welcome them to our family as partners together for your purpose for our city and for our generation. And Lord, my prayer is that they would feel an instantaneous covering, that they would feel the benefits of your kingdom in this house, that all the graces, the goodness, the blessings that are on us would pour into them. Let them sense those things, God. And as Mary and I and the staff and our intercessors pray every day for our church, we pray for these new members, God, today. But thank you, God, for restoration, for resurrection. Thank you, God, for breakthrough, for healing. Thank you, God, for fulfilled promise. And Lord, we receive from them the gifts you put into them. Today, our church expanded dramatically because of the tremendous value, the history, the understanding, the spiritual gifts, the dynamic personalities of these wonderful people. We receive them all into the family of this church. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this is the church you are building. We thank you for doing it, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome, 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 welcome all of you. Hey, we want to, Mary and I and our staff, we want to spend about 10 minutes with you in our youth room at the warehouse, and we're going to just go up this aisle. You can follow Pastor Debbie, and we're going to just go to a room. All the staff's going to be there right now, so we're going to follow you. If you've got a purse or something to grab, grab your stuff and let's go there. And we want to talk to you more about the church and the things we have to offer you as a follower of Christ. Prayer team, as they go, would you come down front of the prayer team at CFTN? As we dismiss today, I want to invite anyone that needs prayer today for any reason. If today, if you make Christ your Savior, if you need prayer because of a physical need, if you're going through a struggle or a battle, if there's anything that you need prayer for about, we want to pray for you. Come on to the altar. Anyone that wants prayer today before we dismiss, we're believing God to do awesome things in your life. I know as we talk about relationships, a lot of things get stirred up. Watch God heal the things he's revealing in your life. Anyone wanting prayer, come on down front. Anyone needing a physical healing, come on down front. Anyone needing the Holy Spirit, come on down front. We will pray for you. Mary and I love you. You're an awesome church. Have a great week. Don't forget water baptisms this coming Wednesday.